Alan Pollock is here for the tech update. So, Alan, I got to get this in. First of all, welcome to the podcast, Alan Pollock, who is just so knowledgeable on everything going on the tech world. Good to have you here, Alan. Dialing in from Florida. Good to have you with us. What do you have for us today, my friend?
Great to be here, David. Thanks for doing this, for having this program. People love it. I got new phones for my family at Verizon Wireless. And I went to a store. They have the physical Verizon stores, and they've got the satellite stores that are individually owned, and they're partners of Verizon. You can go to either of them. I went to an actual store, and it was an hour and a half before close, and I have five phones on my account for my wife, myself, and my kids. And they looked up my info, and they said, oh, well, I'm sorry. I'm not going to be able to help you tonight because I'm leaving early. I was an hour and a half prior to close.
What?
So he said, go online. Yeah. So the next morning, I went online, and online started a chat. And it said, would you like us to call you? There's a 45-minute wait. And I said, no, I'll just start the chat. And I've done these chats many a times. Xfinity, Comcast is another one that I absolutely despise. Anyways, I start the chat. David, throughout the day of working at my desk, I continued to chat with no breaks, no disconnections. 6 hours later, they were unable to confirm why my price on my bill went up when the price of the phones was 80% less than the current price. So then I went to another store, and the store told me they have no idea. They looked at the order. They go, we have to cancel the whole thing. I spend 2 to 3 hours at the store. Make a long story short, as much as I hate Verizon and customer service, and the point of me talking about Verizon was about knowing and understanding and having some empathy for our customers, right? Not sending them to dial systems and voicemails, truly having a way for conversation. And that goes for vendors as well, making sure we're available to the lenders. But I called a major credit union in our industry, major. And I'm a member of their institution. And when I called them, I had to not only confirm through the phone, birth date, year, social security number, last four of social, and say my name, that when they answered, not only did they ask me to reconfirm everything again, they started drilling into the details of my address, my wife's maiden name. It was so bad that I hung up. There needs to be something solved. And I know, David, you and the rest of our co-hosts here and everyone else has this problem often, where you go through this digital process and it doesn't convert to a human very well. So I bring it up because we really need to focus on this for our industry. Clearly, Verizon has done one thing right. And you ready for this? What they've done right is they no longer take you through the confirming everything and what kind of dog food your grandmother 5 years ago gave their cat. None of that matters anymore. Now they just send you a text message, and with the Verizon app, you click approve. And even when they access your account, because over my 6 hour chat, it happened 40 times, you just get a message and you click approve. You go to a website, you're already logged in once, you click approve.
Yes.
I'm not saying everyone has to adopt that, but wow, for all the things Verizon does wrong, after calling my credit union, this is the one thing Verizon did. So just start to think about security, authentication, know your customer, KYC. How do you give a great experience? You know what? It may burden someone to answer the phone sometimes, but what is received on the other end, speaking to a human, is way outweighing anything else that someone can be burdened by. So I just wanted to start off with that.
Yeah, and I want to interject a little bit on that because you're raising up a real good point. Literally, you could copy your voice now. Someone could listen to this podcast. We have enough voice that each of us give that if someone wanted to be really nefarious and grab our voices, they could duplicate the sound of our voice and go in and start doing some bad things. So we need to have all these different tools. I understand the concern because it's getting worse with AI. There's so many blessings that are coming with artificial intelligence, but there are also so many new risks being introduced. But so we got to stay ahead of it. But that's a great one. I have the same thing. I've got that on several accounts where they just go, is this you? Or just hit the app, or we just sent you a text. The risk there is, are you holding your phone? Are you the one in possession of your phone? For some reason you lost your phone, then that could be another matter.
And you know what, David? I hate to say this, but maybe Verizon Wireless can help the voting process in our country to confirm who you are, because it clearly works for them.
Yeah, don't even get me started on our voting process. I have zero confidence on that, sadly.
Let's move on. There's a battle right now, and I made the political comment because of the next piece I have to talk about here. Last week, Representative Adam Schiff, California-based, proposed a bill that would require companies to be transparent about training data, meaning right now companies, AI companies specifically, like OpenAI and Google, they have tons and tons of data for their model. Typically, companies, they don't have to disclose where they get the information from. So it's going to be called the Generative AI Copyright Disclosure Act. And get this, David, I don't know if it has any legs or not. Before launching any product 30 days prior, you have to, there'll be a fine under this new regulation, and you'll have to identify and mention all the places that you receive the data from. But here is the interesting fact. Large language models, and you've all probably heard the term, they're called LLMs. ChatGPT trains on them in what's called text broken into tokens. So they train on text broken tokens. Tokens can be single words, parts of words, characters.
Parts of words, yes.
There's no uniformity to them. Get this, GPT-4, which is the newest model of ChatGPT, has been trained on 12 trillion tokens per the Wall Street Journal. And then get this, estimates for GPT-5, which is not out yet, it could need upwards towards 100 trillion tokens. So get that from GPT-4, 12 trillion tokens of data, to 100 trillion when the next model comes out. You can't. How are you going to disclose those fragmented pieces of data to a regulatory event? So I believe, David, there is some regulation needed. I don't know really where. That's not my expertise. As a consumer, I want to be protected, right? I love the tech for what we do in mortgage. I love it for everything else. But as a consumer, I still want to be protected. So it is a fine line. But anyways, food for thought for anyone interested. It's wild the amount of data that ChatGPT and Google take in tokens.
Yeah,
now,
I got to tell you.
On AI, I know you want... Oh, go ahead, David.
Yeah, I was going to say, anything Adam Schiff puts out there, I'm suspect right out of the gate. But, anyway, don't even get me started on him. Anyway.
Yeah. So I've got some interesting things going on in our industry on the topic of AI, and I know you want to talk about something, so I'll pause after this little news clip. So a company called Take3 Tech, and thank you, Rob Krisman, for posting this in your newsletter. They are announcing an integration between what they have that's called the Rule Tool and Poly, the new PPE, one of the new PPEs that's out there. And they say they have hundreds and thousands of loan officers who now access all their agency, investor, jumbo, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? As a lender, we expect that to be there. So let's move on to what I really wanted to talk about. What they just announced, by the way, is loan maps. Now, it's a point of sale, LOS, CRM. They've got some great tech there, but this is the part I love. They've got an AI dog called Augie, A-U-G-I-E, I think. And Augie is integrated and changed the experience. So based on the amount of data, third-party data that was acquired during the point of sale and CRM process, you as an LO, a loan opener, can chat with Augie. And you can get upfront underwriting. It'll do income analysis, digital validation. It calls both AUS systems, Fannie and Freddie, at the exact same time. And you chat with it. Now, everybody knows me, that listens, knows I don't like the way a lot of people put AI together just because they're still acting as a machine and they haven't made it truly conversal. Oh man, I'm tripping up my word today. Anyways, what I'm getting at is check it out. This maybe is one. I'm going to look at it myself. And if it is really, David, so amazing on my level, like the pizza taste meter from Barstool Sports, then maybe we should start doing that for AI solutions. Anyways, I will get that out to everybody and give you an update on it. I've got so much other stuff, David, I'd love to talk about. I just want to end us on one quick thing. There are numerous data breaches that continue to happen. AT&T just had a really big one. This is something I talked about a while back. It's about passwords. I just want to throw it out there based on the number of characters and how secure your password is. If you have an 8 characters in your password and it's numbers only, it can be figured out by a hacker instantly. That's right. Instantly. If you have 9 characters, 10 or 11 characters, and it's only numbers, they can figure it out instantly. Now get this. If you've got 8 characters, okay, so 8's a lot. And you've got lowercase letters, not just numbers. So just lowercase letters, they can figure it out instantly. If you go to 9, 10, 11, they can figure it out in between 3 seconds and 1 minute. Now, if you mix uppercase and lowercase letters, anything up to 6 characters, mixing upper, lowercase, including numbers, anything 6 to 8 characters, they can figure out instantly or up to 3 seconds. Just make sure to rethink passwords. Think about data breaches of computer that you may leave in the coffee shop or that you left in a car and it got stolen. For your employees, your loan officers, think about someone walks away from the desk and somebody else tries to log in. I mean, I can come up with 80 scenarios. The strongest password that is on this list, okay, is numbers, upper and lower, and symbols, and not your pet name or your last name or anything like that. 11 characters can take 3 years to crack. So you want to be 9 to 11 characters, and you want a mixture of uppercase, lowercase, numbers, and symbols, and you're protected.
To some degree, but not to... That's the thing. The brute force of the AI that's out there and someone that wants to get into it. That's why dual authentication is absolutely a must, knowing, assuming that you're going to get cracked, and then be able to have an app or some way. It really goes a long ways to stop it, but it's getting so bad out there that we are really in a place where, how do we manage this? It's something else. Thank God for the consumer protection laws that we do have, but it's something else. So what I wanted to share with you was, I was talking to Pavan again at Angel AI, and he was talking about his algorithms he has, that he has AI managing market risk in his capital markets group. And he said this last week when the market went a different direction than many people anticipated, their algorithms kicked in, AI algorithms kicked in, figured it out, and they started making money. Not the first day. The first day, there was a few losses in there, nothing terrible, very manageable, but they went quickly into making money based on market conditions. I think when you start looking at how volatile these markets have been, and it's going to be even more so moving forward, Alan, I think we got to be looking more and more to technology. When you were talking about ChatGPT-5, when that gets released, and the amount of the tokens, I was just reading about that last night. I'm going back through for the second or third time parts of the book, but the second time fully end to end is the book, The Coming Wave. And it really talks about all these technologies that are out there and the complexity, but the rate of growth and where we're at, it is phenomenal. Large language models and what that all means. Listeners, I'm telling you, you're either going to be left behind. So I'm saying, get the book. Get the book, The Coming Wave. It's a must-read book, and especially part two. The book is written in three parts and three large, you might say, subheadings, but the part two is the one that will really open your eyes to what is happening, both in the bio world, in mechanics, and then also with AI. AI is the part of it that I'm most interested in, and it is mind-numbing how our world is changing. It's not, is it going to happen? It is underway, and that's the thing that I want to call everyone's attention to. If you're not using AI or finding a way and exploring everything, every possible solution that's out there, for those that are originating right now, AngelAI.com is free to you. You do not have to sell your loans to SunWest. They're a client of mine. They're an advertiser. So I'm in full disclosure on that. But seriously, you get to use it for free. Thousands, literally thousands of loan officers and realtors are signing up for it every single week. They're taking over the world. And I want you to be up on it, listeners. I want you to be in there and using it. It is so far advanced from anything we've ever seen out there. The naysayers and the haters will always say, yeah, but it doesn't do this. And it took a few seconds longer than I thought to get the answer. But yes, but you get an answer. And it's a really solid answer. Alan, these are exciting and worrisome days all at the same time. It's pretty fascinating what's going on in the markets. Appreciate your report, Alan. Good stuff.
Appreciate you as well.
So much.